First, the U.S. has another rover on its way to Mars. It follows recent launches by China and the United Arab Emirates. Mars is the most studied planet that isn't called Earth, but there are still a lot of mysteries left to answer. A lot of them have to do with life on Mars. Was there ever any? Could it have supported life in the past? And does it have what it takes to host life forms in the future? Answers to those questions could tell us a lot about the origins of life here on Earth. Science writer Becky Ferreira contributed to a New York Times series on Mars to coincide with the various missions. Becky, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You focus in your piece, Becky, on life on Mars. We'll get into some of the questions about that. But as you look at these various probes, whether they're landing on Mars or in orbit, is that a big part of the questions they're trying to answer? Mysteries of, you know, habitability of Mars?
Yes, absolutely. The Perseverance rover is the first operational surface robot on Mars since the Viking era that is actually really designed to go and look for past life, mostly of Mars. So that's very exciting. China's rover as well is supposed to be looking into some habitability questions. And the third mission, the United Arab Emirates one, I think is focusing mostly on the weather on Mars, which of course, you know, is a great part of the picture of the planet as a whole, but it's an orbiter, so it won't be having that kind of close surface look.
Mars doesn't look too lively right now, but you write that there's a lot of thought that maybe back in the day, and that day was a long time ago, things might have looked better. What are some of the thoughts on what Mars might have looked like and why it might have been a candidate anyway to support life?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's fascinating to think about Mars and it when it was probably habitable. I mean, most scientists do think about 4 billion years ago, it had all the right conditions for life. There was clearly a lot of liquid water on the surface. How long that liquid water lasted is not clear, but you know, you can look at the site that Perseverance is headed towards, which is called Jezero Crater. I honestly always recommend people just Google that because you can see clearly a river delta there. It's unmistakably the same kind of features you would see on Earth. So there's definitely a lot of evidence that huge swaths of the planet were covered in water. And, you know, there's also Curiosity, the rover that preceded Perseverance, has uncovered a lot of evidence for organic materials in its little ancient lake bed that it's been exploring. So those are some really tantalizing kind of little tidbits. And it's possible, although debated, that there was at one point quite a large ocean on the northern lowlands of Mars as well. So that is pretty exciting to look into.
And this is a huge thing, right? Because life, at least as we Earthlings understand it, you just about got to have water for there to be the prospect for life, right?
It is the number one thing people look for. I mean, water is very essential to all of the kind of metabolic reactions and chemical reactions that we need as life forms. It's what we look for when we look at exoplanets orbiting other stars. That is the number one thing that they that makes an exoplanet considered in the habitable zone is if it can support liquid water.
Okay, so if I'm a rover rolling around on Mars, what am I looking for? What are the signs I'm looking for to see whether there was life-supporting material on Mars or even signs of past life on Mars?
Oh, it's such a great question. And I'm sure that, you know, it would be great to kind of have an immediate biomarker that was very clearly like a, you know, a fossil of some great beast. But I think it's going to be quite debated, even if something very tantalizing is found. One example of something that Dr. Ken Farley, who's the project scientist of Mars, told me for my New York Times article, is this idea of stromatolites, which are found on Earth. They're some of the oldest formations from life ever found. They're billions of years old. And, you know, him and his team had gone out to see these stromatolites in Australia, and he was really kind of taken aback by how obvious it was that this was something special. So those types of things that it's not necessarily that we're going to find like stromatolites necessarily, but we have examples of what very, very simple microbial creatures could accomplish in the earliest days of Earth's history. And those are the types of things that the Perseverance scientists are hoping to see, especially in sort of the shoreline area of where the new rover is going. It's also, this rover is going to be taking a number of drill cores that it will be leaving for a future rover to try to send back to Earth. So it's part of a sort of trilogy of missions in that way. So hopefully, if we do get those samples back, I mean, that would be just amazing. It would be the first time we had actual samples to look at from Mars that were prepared in that way and that weren't just meteorites that came to, luckily, to Earth. So there could be maybe some interesting signs of microbial activity in there as well.
Talking to science writer Becky Ferreira about a piece she wrote for the New York Times looking at the past, present, and future of the potential for Mars to support life. Becky, another question you point out there is, okay, if Mars billions of years ago looked like a pretty good candidate to support life, what happened?
Yeah, it definitely makes you feel lucky to be an Earthling when you look at Mars's history. So one of the biggest things that happened and that is still quite mysterious is that Mars's magnetic field just kind of kicked out within the first billion years of its lifetime. And here on Earth, we are very lucky to have a nice, robust magnetic field, which keeps us safe from the solar wind stream of charged particles that the sun emits. That's quite, you know, it makes life inhospitable. It kind of irradiates the surface of a planet. So basically, soon after Mars's magnetic, mojo kind of got kicked out, it began to lose its atmosphere, and that basically has led to it being fairly dried up, irradiated at the surface, extremely cold at the surface. So a very inert planet for at least about 3 billion years.
If we found current life on Mars, it sounds like it's probably not going to be at the surface. What is the thinking on whether there could be something still around way down underground?
I am so holding out for that possibility. So, so it is a very inhospitable on the surface, but there are these kind of tantalizing signs that something interesting is going on. Whether it's life producing that is a matter of much debate, but we're getting, Curiosity has noticed that there are these kind of spikes of methane that come up through Mars, and it's one of the only kind of surface probes that's been able to detect those. So that could be any number of geological processes that produce methane naturally. But on Earth, methane is also produced by these very hardy microbes. And so there is some thinking that perhaps deep in sort of subterranean reservoirs of Mars, we know that there is some water very, very deep beyond the access of any surface probe, that potentially could be life forms that have managed to make it through in some way. So that's really interesting. Not sure how exactly we would be able to access those kinds of places, but it certainly is a mystery that I think a lot of these new missions will be looking into.
A big part of the story here is learning about Mars, of course, but you write that a lot of people are thinking what we learn on Mars could tell us something about what has happened and the origins of life here on Earth. How so?
Well, exactly, because Mars has, you know, it's sad that it's if you're a person who really wants to find extraterrestrial life, it's sad that it appears to be quite dead now. But the upside of that is that nothing has really changed a lot. I mean, there's been asteroid impacts, occasional volcanic impacts, explosions and things like that on Mars, but it's basically what you see is what it was billions of years ago. So if you want to kind of understand what the early Earth was like, Mars is great to explore. It's a kind of analog for that. And Earth, by contrast, one of the biggest reasons that we can't, we have so much trouble kind of finding out how life originated here is that there just really aren't that many signs that are left, because Earth is constantly, you know, life is all over the surface of the Earth. It's constantly has plate tectonics and atmospheric shifts and all of these things that just like reinvent itself all the time. So there's not a huge record the way that there is where you just land on Mars and it's like, okay, this is, you know, this is immediately what it would have looked like so long ago. So that's a really, really interesting point too.
In our last minute or so, Becky, we've got to wait, of course, for the newest probes to head to Mars. What piece of information are you most excited to hear back as they land, as results come out?
Oh, gosh. I mean, first of all, fingers crossed, and I hope everyone, you know, tries to send good luck to these probes. It's very hard to land on Mars, despite the fact that NASA's done it so many times. It's still, you know, quite a challenge. And if China accomplishes landing their rover, that will be the first time any other country has done it. So I think, honestly, obviously, it would be the best thing ever to have some kind of evidence of past life. But what I think is really cool, too, about these new missions is the kind of international scope of them. And I hope to see that whatever are the discoveries that are made, unexpected or whatever. I hope that there's a lot more collaboration going forward in terms of planetary exploration, because I think it's very exciting to see new nations heading out to other planets. And so hopefully it'll spur a collaborative kind of a spirit.
Becky, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Been talking to Becky Ferreira, a science writer. We talked with her about her recent piece looking at the mysteries of life on Mars that appeared in the New York Times under the title Three Great Mysteries About Life on Mars. Part of a series at the Times looking at some of the big questions about the Red Planet as three countries have various kinds of probes on the way, the United States, China, and the United Arab Emirates. If you have a space question you'd like us to tackle in the future here on Central Time, email ideas@wpr.org.